Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about Elijah, the man of God, and his incredible connection with God's story.
Yeah, we were just at a wedding the other night, and one of the guys in the wedding party was named Elijah, so we... And he was aware.
Yes, he was fully aware of the story, which was fun.
Of his namesake, mm-hmm. Although I don't know how he responded when I said, you know, Elijah was a Tishbite.
What is a Tishbite?
That's just where he comes from. You know, it's like being Norwegian.
Except not.
Yeah, it's like the area of the country or area of the
But region. It mentions that he is a Tishbite, so there is... Is there some significance to that?
I don't know. I've never looked it up.
Okay.
If you want to read about Elijah, if you go to 1 Kings 17 through the end of the book. So 1 Kings 17 through 21, and then 2 Kings, the first couple of chapters, has mm-hmm. Elijah. And he's a colorful character, a lot of great information. We won't even put a dent in it today, but we've selected a couple of things to talk about because... I don't know. There's just there are so many prophetic, beautiful things about the character Elijah.
Well, honestly, if you've never read it, it's just a fun read. It's just really exciting. He has ups and downs. He has a part of what we won't really have time to delve into completely today is he has this incredible moment, which is what we're going to talk about. But what we're not don't really have time to talk about is afterwards how he runs away in fear. And this is after he's had an incredible moment.
Well, he had a tough life, and I was making a list of things that don't fit the conversation today, but they might whet your appetite mm-hmm. for reading more about Elijah if you haven't done that before. He helped the poor and the destitute, mm-hmm. just like Jesus did.
Yeah,
he raised the dead. Just like Jesus did. Mm-hmm. He spoke on behalf of God, which caused him no end of trouble. Kings didn't like him and queens tried to kill him. And that was just kind of like Jesus, if I remember it right. And he took on the prophets of Baal, you know, the prophets of the evil one, just like Jesus did. So there are a lot of typology there.
What are the prophets? Who is Baal? I mean, what is specific about Baal? And was he a god then and isn't one now?
Well, that's a lot of it depends on how you look at it. And the god Baal basically had many faces in Israel, and he was not a true god. He was part of their idolatry of the nations around them. Mm-hmm. So they were always struggling with Baal. And the reason that Baal was difficult is that, and this is the easiest way to remember it, the many faces of Baal. So he would have a face to fit the particular region or the particular area. So if they were agricultural, he would have an agricultural face. Or if they were a city kind of a face, or if they were in a forest or whatever. So there were many faces to Baal, and that's what made him so insidious. So when you say, is it still around today? Well, yeah.
Yeah, we have our own gods of, you know, our family can be our god, money can be our god. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, so the context again is 1 Kings 17 through 21, and then also the first couple of chapters of 2 Kings, and you'll get a big kick out of it if you've never done that before. But today we really want to focus on the time when Elijah went up to Mount Carmel, and it's in 1 Kings 18. It's kind of right at the beginning of the story about him. Mm-hmm. And this is really unique for us because we actually went to the traditional site of Mount Carmel when we were in Israel, mm-hmm. and it's way up in the northwest corner. Remember the bus ride up?
Yes. Well, what was so shocking about the bus ride, and this is just an aside, we get on the bus in Tel Aviv and head up there, and you know, you sort of settle in, like maybe, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that Israel is a small country, so you know, Iowa's not a huge state, so I sort of settle in and barely settle in, and we're there. I'm thinking, oh, we're stopping for a bathroom break. That's nice of them.
And we're there.
And we were there. I mean, the whole country is so tiny. It just doesn't take any time at all to get anywhere.
Well, Israel is about 150 miles long and about 75 miles wide. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's small. It's like, you know, like a small state like New Jersey or something. So.
But it was wonderful. You get out and you go, this is the mount. And when you walk over to one edge of the area where we were, you went, oh my goodness, I can see for a long ways. This lovely valley that you were overlooking. It was very cool.
Well, and that is called the Valley of Jezreel, which is basically, it's a big long valley that goes along the northern side of Israel. So we come up to the top of this site, the traditional site of Mount Carmel, and we're looking out, and this valley you're describing is just like incredible. It goes across most of the northern part of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that is the valley where all of the armies of the earth are going to gather at the end of the age and fight one another and fight against Christ. So that happens right there. So that was breathtaking to me. We're looking out, we're standing on the place where Elijah experienced what we're going to talk about right now. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I could see why all the armies of the earth would fit here. Mm-hmm. It's miles long and miles wide and mm-hmm. wow, pretty cool. Anyway, so we're standing there on Mount Carmel and we're reenacting this.
In our minds.
I call this 1 against 450. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" Now, Ahab was the king. Mm-hmm. So how'd you like to have that kind of that kind of a reputation and relationship?
Well, and he was always chasing him down. Ahab was always sending people out to find Elijah. And when they would come back and say, "I found him," then when Ahab would go to where he was supposed to be, Elijah had always disappeared. God had always, warned him or moved him.
So here he is being confronted by the king. "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" And Elijah responds, "I haven't troubled Israel. You and your father's house have, because you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have embraced the Baals." Mm-hmm. So, this is the kind of guy Elijah was.
In your face.
He was in your face. Mm-hmm. And, he's a picture of John the Baptist who came telling us that Jesus was coming. And he was an in-your-face kind of guy, too, mm-hmm. which is why Jesus said, you've seen Elijah. He has returned. And obviously that has a lot to do with the end times, too. "Now then he sent, and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel together with 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah and those all who eat at Jezebel's table." Now, Jezebel was Ahab's wife.
And she was creepy.
Yeah.
She was scary.
Yeah. Like her name implies, she was not the nicest person.
And can I ask you, who are the prophets of Asherah? Who is Asherah?
Well,
was he one of the Baals or...
No, it's actually a female deity, and it had everything to do with fertility and whatever. So it was very sexual, very fertility-oriented. So the prophets of Baal were one division, and then they had the kind of the female wing, the Baals. And like I said at the beginning, the many faces of Baal, and they're being reflected right here. "So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and he said, 'How long will you hesitate between two opinions?'" I love that line. Mm-hmm. "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood. Put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it." So two competing altars.
That were exactly alike.
Yes.
So far.
Then you call in the name of your God, and I will call in the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, "Hey, sounds like a good idea to us."
We win without even trying.
Well, you can see them sitting there, watching what's going on, spectator sport. Well, let's see what's going to happen.
Well, 900 against one. Who is God wouldn't win?
So they rant and they rave, these prophets of Baal. And literally, it's just, it's creepy. Because
they cut themselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like everything that you would think about idolatry mm-hmm. comes out among these people. And you imagine a bunch of adults... probably everywhere from 70 years old down to, 50 years old or 45 years old, whatever it was. There they are, and they are just dancing and, singing and chanting.
And Elijah mocks them a little, too, and says, "Well, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's, taking a nap." They keep going. They keep after it. He never answers.
Well, that's how it is with false gods, mm-hmm. You can call on them and you can dress them up real pretty, but when it comes right down to it, they show up inside of our hearts. It's not that they are able to show up like the Lord God is able to show up. Mm-hmm. And so they ran away for hours. Nobody shows up. None of their gods show up. Well, Elijah says, "Okay." And he takes water, like pitchers of water, and starts dumping them on top of his offering.
So it makes it unfair in the sense that theirs was a dry offering. He takes it, pours water. Then he says, pour even more. So it's completely
soaks it. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was a trench around it. They dug a trench around it. And so they put enough water on that it came off from the altar, uh-huh. off from the offering, and it filled the trench around it. So it was like there was no doubt that it was wet, mm-hmm. like incredibly mm-hmm. wet. And, he soaks the offering with water and calls down fire from heaven, kaboom, and fries the offering. So you can imagine how hot it had to be. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't write this part down here, but I think all the people shouted and flipped out is what happened to them. And so I read this and I ask the question, who is like our God? Mm-hmm. Who is like the God of Israel? Who is like the God who gave us his dear son to die for our sins? Who's like him? And this mm-hmm. is a perfect biblical example of the fact that there's nobody like him. Mm-hmm. Nobody has the power that the Lord God has. Nobody has the wisdom that the Lord God has. Who is like our God? And I also ask the question, why did Jesus' people not recognize Elijah and Elisha when they returned, when they came? Because Jesus came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah didn't have his own book, mm-hmm. Of the
right.
Bible. He's one of the speaking prophets. And God worked through Elijah and through Elisha and gave us a perfect picture of what was going to happen when the Messiah came. And mm-hmm. So that's my question. Why did his people not recognize Elijah and Elisha when they returned?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And would I have recognized him?
Yeah.
Would I have opened my heart to it?
Sadly, the answer is no, I probably wouldn't have. And mm-hmm. that's what makes our loss, being lost, as sweeping as it does. A good way to summarize Elijah is there are a couple of passages in the New Testament that I really like. But one in particular, James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years mm-hmm. and 6 months. Now, that's one of the stories that you'll find in 1 Kings 17 through 21 and 2 Kings 1 and 2.
And it's awesome.
The earth didn't produce rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And that's the power of God, and you look at the water and how the water is used in the imagery there. And basically he's saying, Jesus was he had our nature, but he was also God. He was perfect. Elijah wasn't God.
And, honestly, I can read that and I can understand it because I understand the stories. I understand the history of Elijah, but I can't quite wrap my belief around it. I'm
yeah.
still not there. It's like, I can get it. I can get what God is trying to say, that he has a nature like mine, like he was human. But I still, it's very difficult for me to wrap my heart around the fact that I'm just like him. I could do the same thing in the sense of my relationship with God.
Well, Elijah, like many of the people in the scriptures, many of the men and women in the scriptures, are men of God and women of God. And that, I think, is just in and of itself an amazing concept. The idea that you can find all kinds of people that will mm-hmm. join Baal or join Asherah, but you only need one person. You only need one person like Elijah who turns his heart toward the living God and becomes a conduit for the power of God. And that's helpful to me as I live my life.
And if you haven't ever read this yet, go back to 1 Kings 17 and 18, the first part of that, and read it. Because after this happens with his sacrifice, something happens to all these prophets. You are going to want to read it.
And it's not pretty. Hey, 4stream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those experience the freedom of a kingdom life. And if you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to 4stream.com and click on that radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at 4thstream.com.